This is the Adam Gold Show.
Well, you know what we need? I should have told you to have Stone Cold Steve Austin's music ready to come blasting in over the Master stuff, because one of the things we're going to talk about today is a huge meeting going down in the world of golf, including the Big Cat himself coming in to talk about and maybe trying to finally put a smackdown on this Live Golf thing that's getting out of control. We talked to, that was Taylor Zarzer. We talked to him Monday about Cameron Smith probably being the next guy to exit. He is declared himself out of the next tournament with hip discomfort, I believe it was. This is after getting a penalty ruled against him 24 hours after the fact. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think he was gone. But we will talk a little bit of golf. But we're already off to a bad start here, Victoria, because do you know what happened today when I came?
What was that?
Okay, first of all, I'm cruising in. Hayes Permar filling in on the Adam Gold Show, by the way. People don't care about that. They want me to keep going with my story. Victoria filling in, producing. They do care about you more than they care about me.
Oh,
I'm cruising in. I'm a little late. Don't have time to get my usual fast food lunch, right?
Right.
But I come in. I'm like, they got a snack machine here.
True.
So I roll up to the snack machine, and I'm trying to decide what nabs I'm going to get, right? Like the orange ones with peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I see the Nikot.
Okay.
People maybe say them different ways. I don't know.
Right.
And it's some sort of, I don't know, is it a graham cracker outside? What is that cracker?
That's kind of what I get the impression of.
Somewhere in the graham cracker family is our Nikot on the outside, right?
Uh-huh.
And I presume it's got the brown, like, you know, label, and it says Nikot.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, boom, that's what I'm going for. Money in, Nikot out.
Uh-oh.
I pick it up. Nikot with lemon cream?
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that is a thing.
What is this?
That is a thing.
What is it? Should not be a thing, especially if it's the only Nikot in the machine.
Oh.
Now there may have been the peanut butter that was out because it's obviously the only Nikot that you would get. But we were off to a bad start. I can't complain too much because a good friend Joe Giglio did offer to pick me up anything if I wanted
nice.
It. But I ain't got time for all that.
No.
And besides, I'm too full of things to talk about to be able to be hungry. So let's go ahead and jump out the gate. All right, just kidding. We're not getting out the gate yet. More intro, because this is going to feed into actually getting out the gate. I'm kidding. You can still play the music.
Oh,
you can
course.
Just keep playing the
That's
music.
Fine.
Because here's what happens, folks. You know, much like is happening with the weather right now, is tricking people into being like, you know what?
It's fall.
I think it might just darn be fall. All those pumpkin spice is too early takes. Everybody's like, you know what? This morning, a pumpkin spice latte might have been pretty good, right? So everybody's like, I don't know. It might actually be fall. Don't do it. Don't fall for it this time. The same thing is happening in sports, okay? You see a weekend of preseason football, and you're like,
it's football!
Sports are back on. All the sports are back.
Yep.
We're playing them all. We got games. We got actual things to talk about. And much like, I hate to break it to you, especially if you're new to North Carolina, this is not fall.
No.
This is false fall.
It is okay? False fall.
This is fake fall. Summer is coming back, and it's going to come back with a vengeance.
Yep.
Because it's going to be when you're sitting at a football game in the middle of the day in the hot sun, and it's 97 degrees, feels like 108 again, you know, like it was just a week ago.
Uh-huh.
It's coming. It may not be on your 10-day right now, but it will show up again. So the same thing is happening in sports. We had a weekend of preseason games. We saw Baker Mayfield throw.
Oh, my gosh.
We saw Sam Darnold play.
It's amazing.
Right? But actually, we don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
There's no real games. But what do you want me to talk about? Baseball?
Exactly.
Is that what you want? Baseball?
No.
So to the rescue comes our good friend Courtney Banger, who knows that rivalries are what sports are all about. Drama and stepping out of coach cliche is what everybody wants. She showed up on the British Tar Heels podcast, which I'm just going to put this out there, may not be a thing too much longer.
I know, not after yesterday.
There's a great show I used to watch that they had a recurring thing where they would be like, fill in the blank with the person's name, and it was so-and-so made headlines yesterday. But not the good kind like you want. And that person, Courtney Bangart, was that person. Courtney Bangart made headlines yesterday, but not the good kind like you want. She went on the British Tar Heels podcast, and he asked her a direct question, who do you hate more, NC State or UNC, or Duke, excuse me. And here's what Courtney Bangart said.
Who do you enjoy beating more, NC State or Duke?
Oh, gosh. It's like, you're asking me who I hate less. It's like, I hate... I guess...
If you could say that, the question normally is, who do you hate more, NC State or Duke? But I didn't want to...
Instead, I just made it easy for you. Who do I hate less? That's like, who's your favorite child, right? I mean, it's like, I hate both of them more than probably I should, because I don't have the history that everybody else has. Duke is a national and international rivalry that I love. NC State fans are so classless. I just don't even like going there.
What?
Right? So I don't know. It's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Both the same?
The same. Equally.
That's amazing.
I have more respect for Duke, but I like beating them because they're more relevant. NC State is just mean to each other, to us and each other.
Mean to each other. That was the whole thing. Yeah. And of course, obviously, you know, NC State fans took issue with that. I do have one thing. Actually, he started the question, who do you like to beat more? He did not phrase it as hate.
No.
He didn't say, who do you hate more? So that, I actually had kind of, hearing that again, reminded me that she walked it in there and took it to that place.
Yep.
And took it to the, it's like asking which child do you like more? Like she made it a Sophie's Choice type thing.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, like, come on. That's,
right. Okay, Dr. Phil. No.
Yeah, so very weird. And maybe it was, there's different theories. Like, was she just assuming that nobody was watching? That it was just a funny, cute little thing that people over in England, like there's like eight people that get together and watch UNC games.
Yeah.
And this was their crew
and
whatever.
And she can throw shade and it'd be fine.
But not realizing that like the world's pretty connected these days.
The internet goes everywhere.
If you, if you talk smack about somebody, there's a good chance they're going to find out about it. So here's the thing. She shouldn't have said it. She made it awkward, weirdly awkward. For really no reason. There's room to say that you like beating them or that you really don't like NC State without calling the fans classless.
Yeah.
And without just a couple other, you know, the way she went about it. But sure enough, not too much later in the afternoon after that became public. Well, first what happened is that video went private and then it got hacked where that question got taken out of it. But once it's out there, it's out there. You can't take it back. The video, and nobody else is watching any of the rest of the video anyway, right?
No,
the only relevant part is that part. So that's the one's getting all the listens. Courtney Bangert came out with this statement. I'm honored to be part of some of the best rivalries in all of women's basketball and inspired by the competitiveness that our game ignites. As a coach and leader, my responsibility is to lead thoughtfully and respectfully. With that said, I want to sincerely apologize for my recent comments circulating from a podcast. I love a podcast. Don't even listen. At least you didn't say a podcast from a guy in his mom's basement. Like that. She could have like been more dismissive.
Uh-huh.
While intending to keep the competitive energy fueled between two passionate fan bases, I took it too far. I carelessly used the word classless in reference to the passionate fans of NC State, and I deeply regret my word choice. It doesn't accurately depict my feelings, for one, and there's no place for name calling. That said, I want to publicly apologize first and foremost to the players and coaches who have worked tirelessly to be great at NC State. I also want to apologize to the Wolfpack fan base. I have the utmost respect for the uniqueness of the rivalries in our state as they help our game to be great. Everyone involved in my program, NC State's program, and the communities at both schools deserve better, and you will get it from me moving forward. All right, here's my thing. She shouldn't have said it, but also, like, you don't have to apologize for that,
no.
Right? I'm not going to go all like, yeah, our society's soft, you know.
Yeah, no.
There are times where an apology is certainly warranted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we probably debate apologies way too much, which is exactly what I'm doing right now. But like in my mind, you know, the state fans would have really enjoyed Sherry and saying, I can't wait to beat her again by 30 like we did the last time in Reynolds or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's already given them fodder with the small gym stuff, you know, like... So she shouldn't have said it, but I appreciate it, not just in the, I'm a radio guy to talk about stuff. Like, no, it's a fact. I appreciate people stepping out. But again, it didn't, when Roy Williams would talk about his disdain for NC State, it felt like he was holding back. Like, it felt like you knew when it was just him and his players, he was saying a couple steps further than what he was saying in the media, which, again, he never held back on his feelings about NC State.
The kitchen table was a lot different, I'm sure.
Yeah. But there is something to there's something to classless, and also you're putting that blanket on everybody, right?
Yeah.
That she just didn't need to do. But also I felt like She didn't need to apologize. Let it sit out there. Yeah. Now you made everybody mad. You made State fans mad. You made UNC fans mad by apologizing. So.
No.
Anyway, but because we're in false fall of sports season, we will take it, Courtney Banger, and we will appreciate you.
Live your truth, Courtney.
Making something happen. Next up, getting out the gate. The Carolina Panthers, you know, they're going to make me talk about NFL. They wouldn't let me go too long. They're going to start looking in the windows and be like, when are you going to talk about the NFL?
Come on,
the NFL is back. We will take you out of here. We will pull you out of the studio with a cane right now, like a vaudeville act.
Shut it down.
You don't start talking about NFL. So I'll give you this, okay? I don't have any insight, but today is apparently the day that you should be following your favorite Panthers beat reporter, your favorite Panthers Twitter account for information. Because as we talked to yesterday with Taylor Zarzer, Anish Shroff, I've heard Darren Gant say this on radio and other people saying, this is one of the times that actually matters. A little bit later in this, you start going into full bubble wrap mode. Don't let anybody we think is going to be useful this season get hurt. That becomes the third preseason game, right?
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, yes. and so apparently, well, he's in full bubble wrap mode all preseason. Apparently, this is the one time that they are unwrapping the bubble wrap.
Yes.
And letting him out there. So I also, just as of note, I was glancing at, I believe it was Carolina Blitz, our good friend Vashti, her account. She had a helicopter landing at the practice, dropped someone off. You know you're in a rich environment when you're not sure whose helicopter is it. Which billionaire is landing at the Patriots-Panthers scrimmage by helicopter? I used to work at a camp. It was a YMCA camp, but it had a little bit of a ritzy element to it. It's, you know, and most people drove down. You know, my family drove in a big family van. Maybe more upper class people might drive a nice brand new Suburban, right?
Sure.
But like, a nice brand new Suburban isn't enough because some people could show up at this camp in a boat.
Oh.
You drop your kid off on boat. But then, not to be outdone, every couple of years, we would have somebody come by helicopter.
Wow.
And we would cater to them by driving the golf cart out to pick up. And I'm like, no, if you show up by helicopter, we'll give you the big field to land in. But you got to drag your month-long trunk of clothes across that field yourself, bub. Right. We're not bringing you a golf cart.
You're going to be bougie.
But apparently, you know, I didn't work in the development office. So, you know, I was told, go out there and pick it up with a golf cart. But just anytime you see somebody landing in a helicopter and you're not even sure who it is, you know you've got billionaires in the air.
Yes.
So, yes, Christian McCaffrey's going to play. There will probably it's almost like Baker Mayfield has taken the upper hand in the quarterback race, if you listen to the people that seem to know and read the tea leaves. So, I mean, obviously injury would be the thing that derails that. Knock on whatever you can be near. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want anybody getting hurt. But, like, unless something, I don't know, weird, terrible, outlier-ish happens. Either like Sam Darnold looking incredibly good against a Bill Belichick defense that might actually be trying hard and Baker Mayfield fumbling more snaps with the center, you know? Unless it's something crazy like that, we're likely to see Baker possibly named the starter after the second game. And we'll see how the rest of the starting lineup shape up. But again, these next 2 days apparently really matter. So pay attention. I'm not going to pretend that I can tell you who's leading in these position battles, but we always roll our eyes and make fun of, like, you know, in voluntary workouts, beat writers are all out there being like, oh, Baker Mayfield just connected with Robbie Anderson, you know, as if.
Most amazing thing.
Panthers in the Super Bowl.
let's go.
12 wins, you know, like whatever. But apparently, if you actually want to read some tea leaves, you can go read them today. Read Joe Person's article at the end of the day, at the end of the practice. We might see, I don't know, even know exactly when practice ends. We might see if any audio drops during this show. We'll try and bring you updates on Panthers practice that actually matters more than the preseason games. Next up, getting out the gate. All right, we mentioned this first thing, but there is a players-only meeting going on the PGA Tour. This is from Alan Shipnuck, a golf writer who was last seen being handled by goons at a live press conference with Greg Norman staring him down. But here was the tweet from yesterday that had the golf world all abuzz. It said, I'm hearing tomorrow's PGA Tour player meeting regarding live is going to be a banger. Supposedly everything is on the table, from major championship boycotts to Monahan's future to a larger compromise. And Tiger MF Woods, I'm not shortening it. He used the letters, not the words. Tiger M.F. Woods is expected to fly in to provide counsel slash bully slash cajole. We'll see what needs to be done. Now, the reason I laugh at this and I call it a players-only meeting, there are probably going to be PGA Tour officials there, too. Although, not the Commissioner Jay Moynihan. It's Jay? Pat Moynihan? Yeah. It's something Moynihan.
One of those.
One of the Moynihans. But players-only meeting is usually reserved for team sports, and we kind of mock it when it's like, this team, it's usually like a high-profile team because they're getting a lot of, press. It's a New York team or the Dallas Cowboys or, some team that's the Super Bowl champion and they're not doing well the next year. They start out 1-4 and they're like, players-only meeting, or like NBA team, sometimes I'm going to get the coaches out, players-only meeting. And, like, at some point, somebody, like Bill Russell, threw a players-only meeting at one point, and it, like, mattered. It actually worked because he said, we're going to do it our way. I don't know, whatever. But over the course of time, it became my... To me, the players-only meeting now, you know what I think of when I think players-only meeting? Varsity Blues. Yeah. Like, when they come, they're like, we're going to win this game, and, like, Dawson Leary takes over, or whatever he is. Yeah, and he's like, you're going to be the offensive coordinator to win it. Like, players-only meeting, let's go. Like
right now.
So it's usually a team sport thing, and we usually kind of roll our eyes on it. It's like the next step in, we're trying to get things together. Like, well, what are you guys doing to fix this? Have you had a players-only meeting? Like, all right, okay.
Duh.
Okay, we've gotten to that level. We've had a players-only meeting. But to see it in an individual sport, I just find it humorous. A PGA Tour players-only meeting. Now, what's not funny is their jobs and their careers are at a sort of crisis or crossing roads, however you want to describe it, depending on how you're looking at it. But this is a real problem, especially if young players. Taylor Zarzer on this show, I think he said Cam Smith is leaving is one of the biggest blows, maybe the biggest blows so far. Everybody else, it started with justification of like it's old washed up dudes, and that's what it looked like. Then it was like certain dudes that, they may still be good. Bryson DeChambeau, but you can give an excuse for why it was okay to lose this guy or that guy. But Cam Smith, coming off a major win, young dude. Very good golfer, and now to turn around and be going to the LIV Golf Tour. But here's the thing: I feel like it's much more understandable. Take the politics and the Saudi stuff out of it. It's much more understandable for any international golfer to join the LIV Tour, right? Like they don't have as strong a tour, and especially if you're not, the European Tour. If you're not even Europe, the rest of the tours, they've all got names, but it's like a collection of places, and you're used to playing internationally anyway. One of the things that I also read about the players-only meeting, or before the players-only meeting, is some of the information that they're going in with. Because we've seen the PGA raise purses, but when they're like, oh, we're putting $15 or $20 million more dollars in the pot, when you're hearing, $50 and $70 and $100 million signings, that doesn't mean that much. But listen to this, the latest thing that I've read.
Uh-oh.
They're circulating a document to try and say, and this is, real deal. It's almost like, do you remember the discussion where every time if you were a returning starting quarterback and you signed a new contract, it was going to be the biggest starting quarterback contract for the most part,
yes.
Right? It didn't mean you were the best.
No.
It means you had signed the most recently, because when the last guy signed his contract, the money was less,
yeah.
Right? The money continues to grow. So the PGA Tour is trying to let golfers know, like, hey, don't be caught up in what some of these guys have earned their whole career, because that's starting in Dustin Johnson. The $1 million he earned in 2020 would have been a $5 million purse. Or excuse me, in 2000 when he started, would have been a $5 million purse. So they got a number out there that if Jim Furyk, guy was very successful on the PGA Tour, won a ton of events, but he played most of his time pre-Tiger, so the purses weren't nearly as big.
No.
If they say if he started his career right now in 2022 and played for 20 years and won 100 events or whatever it is, he would have won $600 million
wow.
in today's dollars. And that's what they're trying to tell these guys of like, hey, let's get real about the money. A $50 million splash bonus right now, and even some money over there. In the end of the day, measured in real dollars with inflation and increase of purses, is not the super mega deal that it might look like. Yes, obviously the biggest names, and again, the guys that are at the end of their career, that's something to be weighed against. Like, well, yeah, I don't have that much time. But if you're going to have a 10, 15, 20-year PGA PGA year career.
Yeah.
Yes. What do the real dollars look like? And that's what the PGA Tour is trying to let these guys know. So it's interesting. And again, the little tidbit of Tiger Woods coming in. And like, what Tiger are you going to get? Are you going to get Tiger like break it down in tears and you know, pulling on the heartstrings? Are you going to get Tiger like in dudes' faces?
Yes.
Like, I feel like at a certain age, it would have been Tiger, I don't know, trying to intimidate guys.
Sure.
Now I feel like we've seen soft Tiger. This is Dad Tiger. This is a play with my son Tiger.
He's
this
giving
is
hugs.
President's Cup captain Tiger. Guys all waited for me after I won my Masters Tiger. Like, he could go in there. I think he'd get a little emotional. So, as many people have said, get me a pay-per-view stream of this meeting, and we can get a pretty good purse going right now. Like, there are enough dudes who would pay $50. Dudes is a universal term for me.
Right.
Golf fans,
yes,
men and women. But there are people that will that would pay to watch this meeting, and we could at least drum up a couple more bucks for these
dudes
guys.
Dudes and
right?
dudettes.
Absolutely. And finally, getting out the gate, a little news from the world of college football yesterday. Miami and Atlanta have landed college football playoff championship games. Atlanta in 2025, Miami in 2026. So that's kind of cool. Those are closer than most of them. Atlanta obviously would be the closest a college football playoff championship game will be held to us in the Triangle. Until, you got to wonder if Charlotte is trying to make themselves. Obviously, David Tepper would love to host that level of game. They're not in the rotation yet. What's also significant about 2026, that's the end of the current contract, right? It's the 2025 season, but the championship game gets played in 2026. And so after that, who knows? It was looking like it might go to 12 teams. The ACC helped smack that down. Now the ACC may be trying to get back in that game. We'll see what the playoff looks like after that, and that'll determine what the championship sites look like as well. Just while we're talking college football, to recap from yesterday, 5 ACC teams in the top 25. The top 25 dropped right as our show was going on. Josh Goodson reminded us who had NC State ranked the highest and who didn't rank them.
Yeah, of course.
But yes, Clemson 4, NC State 13, Miami 16, Pitt 17, Wake 22. I think it was just last year that there was only 2 teams in the top 25 for a lot of the season for the ACC. So starting out with 5 is good. You got to love the respect being shown to Wake Forest getting that top 25 nod. Pitt is a team that I'm worried about staying in there. And Miami's always the wild card. Like, who knows? What Miami are you getting? Good Miami or bad Miami? I also have to give a shout out, though, to the Mountain West. Like, sports information people are good at, like, manipulating stats to make them sound bigger than they actually are. Our favorite, of course, is the whenever Duke and UNC play, somebody will find a point in time at which, if that were the starting point, they're tied exactly in points, right? Like, yeah. If you go back and say, like, every year somebody's doing the math to make it so that the rivalry looks like they've scored the exact same number of points if you start from 1972 or whatever it is, right? So shout out to the Mountain West for trumpeting their 5 teams in the top 44. Like, what's the top 44? Clearly they had the 44th team.
Yeah.
So you got to go like far enough to get as many of your teams in as you can, but then like not one further. So it's you don't want to water it down by saying top 50, right?
Yeah, or 45.
You can cut it off at 44 so that they can brag they had the same number as the Big 12 and more than the Pac-12. So that'd be like me saying the ACC, 5 teams in the top 25, only 1 fewer than the SEC. We're right there when everybody knows, like, the SEC has, I believe, 3 of the top 5, which is, so that's a little bit different than the ACC's 5 in the top 25. And, of course, there is always Clemson carrying the flag for us in the top 5. Can NC State, obviously, if they jump out of the gate with a couple wins, they're going to creep into the top 10 just based on shakeup, right? If you don't lose, you win your first 2 weeks out. Those are both going to be big games, obviously, for NC State. Then you might see them in the top 10. It'd be really cool to see if we can get Clemson and NC State as a top 10 matchup by the time those are played. But, yeah, that was the AP Top 25.
This is the Adam Gold Show.